Hello and welcome to W Rated, where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on our Road to Razzies, a special run of episodes looking at the nominations for the worst films of 2022, according to the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host and editor Claire. Claire, do you want to tell us what film we're talking about this episode?
In today's episode, we are looking at the film The Bubble, released in 2022. The film is directed by Judd Apatow and written by Judd Apatow along with Pam Brady. It has currently a 21% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 30% audience score, along with a 4.7 out of 10 on IMDb. It's a Netflix original and can be seen there. You do have to search for it, or at least I did, because they really didn't want me to find it.
They've hidden the bubble.
they have hidden the bubble. I watched this for the podcast. Daisy, I feel like you did not.
I watched it for the podcast. Yeah, no, I hadn't seen it before. So I watched this very recently in bits. I think it sometimes, you know me, like I do that with films anyway.
But I had to watch this in parts.
But I'm wondering if that helped me. Because some of the reviews I was watching, reading about this film was talking about how it feels like a disconnected set of skits.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the longest films I think I've ever watched. I felt every second.
Really?
I watched the first hour in one sitting, and then I attempted three separate times to watch the second half. And just kept being like, okay, no. And on the final time, I was like, I have to watch these last 40 minutes. I have to get through them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I really pushed it. Just
have you felt like that about any of the other Razzie films this year?
No.
Really?
The others have just flown by.
Oh my God, you know when people say, people write for the lowest common denominator with these kinds of comedy films. Am I now the lowest common denominator?
I didn't want to say.
Maybe, here's a theory, maybe I just needed just complete trash at the time I watched this. I didn't mind it.
See, there is a film that you haven't watched yet that's part of the Razzies that I have already watched, which was that for me. It was pure.
Right.
And I'll save my real opinions for it because I can see how it's ended up on the list. But I was like, loved it. That just
which one, just out of interest?
Mac and Rita.
I thought it might be that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like,
okay.
That is just the nonsense I need.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think for me, like, so with Judd Apatow films, like, I think most people recognize, you know, this is 40, Knocked Up. If you don't know him, you definitely know of his stuff. And it's a bit Adam Sandler in the way that he gets all his mates and his family to be in them. And, you know,
though, funnily enough, apart from his wife and daughter, I didn't feel like a lot of these guys were frequent.
No, these are a new group of people and some English actors as well. Some of them more well known, like Peter Serafinowicz was a great face to see. I've just recently, even though he did it like 15 years ago, watched his sketch show that he did. He's also very commonly known as the Shaun's housemate in Shaun of the Dead.
He's just great in everything he does.
Yeah, exactly. He's a great screen presence. But if we're talking about others, so as you said, Judd Apatow's wife, Leslie Mann, who I just love in everything. She wasn't brilliant in this, but I just love her.
Yeah, and I think it was the character, not her.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. And then his daughter, which I can't remember, it's not Maud, it's Iris Apatow, who I believe was in Love. She was the young actress in that. And she was really good in that. I liked her in that.
I think she is.
Yeah, Arya, yeah. She's like the main guy in it, tutors her. And she's just very sarky and like, it's a very like Gen Z sort of, not stereotype, but like the first kind of like wave of, oh, you know, these kids have grown up on their phones, that kind of thing, which is what they've tried to bring into this film. I think she's the TikToker, you know, amongst the veteran actors. And and then who else have we got? We've got
Karen Gillan. I adore, one of my absolute favorite actresses.
She's, I would say, is probably the main character, right? It focuses on her as a protagonist and her experience.
It makes me sad. this is what she has. She has so much more to give us. And it's so sad that this is the kind of film she gets to front. And the only thing I thought throughout the whole movie was I really want everyone to go out and find her directorial debut, which she also stars in, called The Art's Just Beginning.
Okay.
And she's astonishing in that. And
really?
It's one of the favourite things I've seen. And Lee Pace does a little cameo in it, and he's very handsome in it.
Say no more.
I love a little Lee Pace. But since seeing that film, she's gone up so much my estimation, and I already liked her before that. So, like, seeing this, she doesn't do anything wrong, but I was like, she can do so much more.
She's just not got a lot to work with, would you say? Yeah.
I mean, we can tell by my tone. It's not just that I'm very tired. I've only had a couple of hours at a wedding for 25 hours yesterday. Irish weddings, man. They go long. This film felt longer.
Put that on the quotes. This film felt longer than an Irish wedding.
Yep. And not even a slight ounce of the fun.
Right.
I'm so down on this film. I'm so down on it.
So I didn't think it was that bad. The other people that are in it, Keegan-Michael Key, mm-hmm. Pedro Pascal, who mm-hmm. I thought was... I just love him in anything, but I thought he
was so wasted.
Maybe my expectations were so low for this film because everyone was saying how awful it was. That when I watched it, I was just like, this isn't awful. It's just an American comedy that people of that caliber of director can get away with on Netflix. Like, that's how I see it.
You keep using this word comedy.
I thought this was gonna be a Daisy, you always say this about expectations, or Daisy, you always have a positive.
You keep saying the word comedy.
Fair play. No, what I will say, it wasn't a laugh out loud thing.
It wasn't even a snigger. It wasn't, you know, sometimes just a little bit of breath.
Not even that. I wouldn't even go as far to say it was amusing.
No.
But like, I don't know. I think it's just, it was fine. I could shut my brain off for a few hours and I was interested to see what they were going to do next, but it wasn't.
See, my brain was upset. My brain was like, Claire, Jesus Christ, like, we can spend hours watching makeup cleaning tutorials, you know, where they get their palettes and they clean out.
And you get
makeup
some
palette.
Sort of satisfaction from that bit to this you didn't get.
My brain was just like, this is too low. Like, there's nothing happening here. Like, they need to give me something.
Do you know what's really difficult? I'm really struggling to describe to you why I didn't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's nothing I particularly did like, but there's nothing I particularly didn't like. And I think because everyone's consensus was, I despicably hate this. I'm now leaning more towards, my neutral feels positive because of that. But I thought it was fine. It was just inoffensive to me. It was just things are happening. And there was, I'll tell you what, the shining stars for me, Pedro Pascal, because I can watch him in anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there was just a bit of charm that he brings to the screen. But the, what is his name, the English guy who was doing the
health guy,
yeah.
I did like him. I was
Harry
Trevaldwin
was just, yeah, he just brought it up a level. There was just something about his physicality and the candor of his voice,
yeah,
and he just had a little bit of, like, I don't know. It's just like he was in a different film, I think, than
everyone
else.
And I wanted to watch that film.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch.
Fair play.
I mean, I will say, like, I'm not like, I wouldn't be out with pitchforks. I avoided watching this when it came out because it got such bad reviews and I just wasn't actually particularly interested in it in the first place.
Yeah.
I just think it's bad, and not in a fun bad or a hysterical bad or an anger-making bad. I think it's just, the humour never hits. The characters are really paper thin and poorly written.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't interesting. And it in no way captivated my interest, my imagination. Mm-hmm. And I did not care what happened to anyone. And I did not care where the story was going. And actually then the only thing that really made me mad, and I do wonder if it's why some people were so mad, was like that final scene where at the end they're like, Asher, it doesn't matter if the film's not good as long as you have a strong ending. No one really cares if the film's good as long as the ending's good. And anyway, like, making a film's hard, so maybe people should just be nice. And I was like, oh, so you knew this was a stinker.
And
you've just thrown this dialogue in. Wow. Now maybe not, but I was like, it felt way too on the nose.
Right. That's
and that pissed me off. I was like, okay, so you know this didn't work, and now you're kind of telling me as an audience member that I should just like it because you tried. And I don't know. I know sometimes I'm like, oh, we should be nice to films because films are hard to make. This was so flat for me. I didn't hate it. It was just completely flat.
Yeah. For me, I think, mine's on the more positive side of the neutral, which is fine. But there's nothing for me that goes, that I can't defend it in any way. There's nothing to me that says this is good. I just kind of was happy to watch the people who were those particular people on screen, because actually pretty much all of the cast I like.
And it's anyone a great cast.
And anyone that I didn't know, I thought they did well. So it was one of those things where it's just like, I'm never going to be mad at seeing... what's her name? You love her.
Triangle?
No. Blonde, SNL.
Oh.
What's
her name? Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon, you know? Like,
my brain was trying to get her Ghostbusters name.
yeah. And it's just what other people were saying. I think the reason this was so badly received, and we should talk about the nomination singular in a moment.
One thing I did like. I did like the random James McAvoy cameo. Don't really know what the fuck it was about. Don't know why it was there, but I did like it.
I reckon he was just like shooting something nearby.
And he's Scottish and Karen's Scottish and they like being Scottish together probably.
So yeah, maybe one of them, maybe she's friends with him. She was like, oh, I can bring James in today. I think the reason people were annoyed about this probably is because I reckon the trailers were like, from the guy that did Knocked Up and this is 40 and this and this and this. Didn't he do 40-Year-Old Virgin as well? I can't remember.
He did like all of those kind of the new wave of like gross out teen 20s comedy, loser comedy kind of thing.
Like, and I think people probably saw that, watched this and were like, what the fuck is that? Whereas like, I'm like, this is a Netflix comedy with a strong cast. So my expectations were already on the floor, and other people's has already put them so far on the floor that I was just like, I let it wash over me. I was just kind of, and because I watched it in so many little bits, it was almost like I was watching YouTube skits. And so
I think would make it a lot more interesting.
It just kind of like whooshed over me. I actually think
this would have been better as like a mini series. Did you ever watch Episodes, the Matt LeBlanc?
I didn't, but I can see where you're coming from. So like, I feel like maybe you focus on one cast member at a time and it's just like a day on set in them. It's just
just have it broken up, you know, just one episode about the isolation, the first isolation, episode about getting it up and running. Then the next episode when the first one runs away, then an episode for when she loses her finger, is it that she loses her hand? You know, they could break it all up because it does have lots of like, and now this happens. And now this happens.
For sure. And I think if I'd have watched it all in one go, not for the podcast's sake, I probably would have, and hadn't really paid attention. If I'd watched it when it came out, basically, I probably would have thought it was shit as well. The other thing that people were raising is that this came out in 2022. It's set in 2020. Obviously this is about the first bit in the pandemic, and I think it just came out at, not that this would have made it any better, but I think the timing of it coming out was also bad. Like,
I think
everyone's kind of said how people have said there has been good pandemic related films.
I've seen
and
some
media.
Of them, they do exist.
Yeah, but I think it's hard to get it right because we're living in it still. But I think the fact that it was like this and was a bit naff anyway, and it was too late to be relevant anymore, but too early to be something that's a bit like, oh, remember when that happened?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Because for me, watching it this year, it feels far along enough ago that I haven't seen any other super pandemic-y related things that I'm not like, oh, I get it. The people were sort of saying about, we get it, the nose swabs are uncomfortable, that's not funny, like, blah, 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 it's been done to death. And I'm a bit like, well, haven't actually seen, I've forgotten about, like, I'm privileged enough to have kind of forgotten about all of that for a little while. Like, so I just thought it was, for me personally, I didn't have an issue with it. I'm not saying it's a good film, but the way that I watched it, it was a lot easier to watch than some of the other films that we've...
See, this, for me, so far, has been my most difficult. I think I'm over halfway through. And this has been my most difficult. And it's funny, like, because I think I was thinking while you were talking there about, so I did South by Southwest in 2021,
mm-hmm.
and there were so many pandemic movies. I saw at least 4, if not 5, pandemic movies during that festival. And that was in March of 21. So, like, literally 12 months of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, they're indie films, so they're smaller, they're harder to make, but easier once they're done. Like, there's less post and everything going into them. But the one that I remember enjoying the most was a road trip movie, and it was definitely a COVID movie, but it worked because at its core, actually, it was a road trip movie set during COVID.
It was the setting,
COVID
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. Because I think the difference is between using it as a gimmick or a platform. Mm-hmm. So the reason that films like Host worked so well mm-hmm. is because it used the setting of the pandemic to write a good reason
for something
why the events were happening, yeah. but it was the answer to some questions and not the question itself, if that makes any kind of sense. It does in my head. But, and also the reason it worked so well is because it was made specifically to be released quickly. Because it was made on a low budget, people, you know, it was someone saw an opportunity and grabbed it mm-hmm. and worked well with it. If you people know when they make films of that, I was about to say caliber, but that's not quite right. je ne sais quoi. I don't know. when you make a film that's going to take a long time in production, mm-hmm. You have to be really careful when you're doing something that's timely because. Mm-hmm. And also, I suppose it's really difficult because we didn't know how long the pandemic was going to go on for. But at the same time, all of those experiences were very, either they were going to pass soon or people were going to get sick of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have done something where it was set, like the setting, ultimately, the setting is that they're shooting a movie during the height of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So they have to bubble together. And no, like some of them want to be there, others don't. It's not, you know, it's meant to be a bit of a parody on franchise making and, you know, elitist Hollywood and, you know,
well, and
people...
I think as well, like Jurassic World, as we spoke about in our Jurassic World episode, was one of the only films filming in the UK in a bubble during the pandemic. And this is a film about dinosaurs and it's the sixth film with the franchise. And...
Yeah, so it's almost as if, like, you know, Judd Apatow and Leslie Mann were sitting there, you know, in LA or wherever they live. He hadn't done a film. I don't know when the last film he was done. He was just like, oh, write what you know, right? Yeah. This could be funny. And, you know, the actual story of it, there isn't really one. So that's not to say that the story itself is bad. It's just that it's severely underwritten. Because I think what he's tried to do is try to do something timely and quick, but through traditional production schedules. Mm-hmm. So all that ends up happening is you've got a film that's not very good and has come out too late mm-hmm. about something that people don't really care about anymore, but it's still recent enough that they don't really want to hear about it.
Yeah.
It's not very helpful, is it?
No. So the last thing he had done, the last two films were The King of Staten Island, which came out in the pandemic.
I didn't know that he'd done that. I didn't realise that was him.
Then something called May at Last, a portrait of the Abbott brothers, which I don't know if that's... It's a documentary. And then before that was Trainwreck back in 2015. And I adore Trainwreck. I don't care, you know, hate Amy Schumer all you want, but Trainwreck spoke to me and means a lot to me. And then his last film that he wrote, so again, he did Staten Island. But before that, writing-wise, the last one he had done was This Is 40 back in 2012.
Wow.
So that, he's been doing TV, he's been doing writing, and
he's producing. He produces
and he does
stuff
so
as well.
Much producing, yeah,
yeah. So maybe this was a product of him being in the pandemic, mm-hmm. needing a creative outlet, like you say, write what you know. Netflix as well probably were drawing on all of their resources at the time, mm-hmm. to try and pull in content, because I mean their viewing figures obviously went through the roof during the pandemic. So I think it's a case of there was an opportunity there was money there, they decided to take it, but rather than, they just weren't very scrappy and clever about it. It was just, mm-hmm. it felt a bit like going through the motions. Oh, here's something that we can do. Let's do it. Let's spend money on it. But mm-hmm. passion for it, probably not. It was probably a case of, I can write. You need me to write something. You've got money. I've got a wife and a daughter that can be in it. Like, it was I think it's just a bit one of those content examples.
Yeah, I mean, so it's only got one nomination here, which really surprised me. So it's got a nomination for Worst Director, Judd Apatow. So he's up against in this category Colson Baker and Mod Song for Good Morning, Andrew Dominik for Blonde, Daniel Espinosa for Morbius, and Robert Zemeckis for Pinocchio. I think we all agree that that award should go to Andrew Dominik for Blonde.
Yeah.
I don't actually completely disagree with this nomination, though.
No, I don't. Because if you're looking at previous work, the way that we did with Robert Zemeckis, like, you know, we know how he can do comedy well. The thing is, you know, directing is tied to everything. So it's hard to sometimes separate that from the rest of the quality of everything. But if he wrote it as well, kind of like, if we're complaining about the screenplay, it's kind of like a bit of a tagged on joint venture, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I personally think this also should have been nominated for Worst Picture and Worst Screenplay. I'm genuinely very surprised it wasn't. So Jurassic World didn't get the director nomination.
Right. Okay.
It got the screenplay, so this is taking the place of Jurassic World. If Jurassic World would have got director,
right.
I know you hated Jurassic World, but I would put this in the place of Jurassic World, without a doubt.
I get why, and I'd never argue against it in a court of law.
Yeah.
But for me personally, I found this a lot easier to watch than mm-hmm. Jurassic World. But there's so many factors at play which makes it so difficult. I just thought this was candy floss, as you like to say.
I do like to say that. For Worst Picture, the kind of non-set slots, so again, it's those four, Blonde, Pinocchio, Good Morning and Morbius. The fifth nomination went to The King's Daughter.
Right.
Which, I don't think you've seen yet.
I haven't seen it yet, no.
Spoiler.
So that will be good.
I liked
to...
it.
Okay.
So I would have
put this in.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have to revisit our opinions at the end of the road to
I think what's more, even like not just taking in my own opinion, but the fact that it's been nominated at all, we don't normally see those kind of, we do have the odd one off, but a lot of the time it is like we're saying, you get like those four or five that get nominated in every category. And this would probably have been one of the most watched ones because of it being on Netflix, so I am genuinely surprised, as opposed to something like Good Morning or The King's Daughter, that this got only the one nomination.
Yeah,
because I would have assumed so many more people would have seen it, and it was so widely derailed. I'm really surprised
it would have been a
shoo-in with only in the one. Yeah,
would have been a shoo-in, to be honest. So yeah, interesting, because this, for me, the one nomination does definitely go against public opinion, which mm-hmm. genuinely, like you say, tends to be the lead for where mm-hmm. we think the nominations are gonna it's almost as if they just read what people are saying and then just go let's just stick in. It would have been easy to like I said, it would have been shown for so many different categories, but maybe there was just, with the other ones, they are more obscure is maybe not the right word, mm-hmm. but that they
less
wanted to create a bit of variety in that, and mm-hmm. thought, maybe let's not be so obvious this year. But who knows? I doubt that they thought that much about it. But
it mostly goes down to what people write in the ballots. So,
I suppose. I keep thinking it's just people sitting in a room deciding stuff.
People pay for their membership and I assume take it somewhat seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have gone for any of the acting categories. I did find... what is her name again? Not Maud Apatow. It's
Iris.
Iris Apatow. I found her to probably be the weakest, which completely makes sense because she's the youngest and she's up against, you know, Pedro Pascal and all these amazing, like, award-nominated people. And her the friend that was with her, the daughter of the thing, I found them to be the weakest. But also their characters were very weak too, so I don't think I would be comfortable
kind of nominating. Say, all of the characters were paper thin. Yeah. Like, one, Keegan-Michael Key's character was literally the guy that knows how to fly the airplane, the helicopter up and down. I couldn't tell you anything else about his character.
Oh, he wrote a book that he didn't write.
Oh, yes, that he heard for the first time when he was doing the audiobook. So this is what I mean. I barely remember any of it, to be honest. It was just... I watched it, so I chose to watch this one at the time that we decided because it was on Netflix, which meant I could download it onto my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if the reason I've enjoyed it is because I've been watching it on the train when otherwise I would usually be bored.
True.
And I haven't necessarily taken... I mean, I finished watching it yesterday morning, but I haven't necessarily taken too much time out of my
life.
Sacrificed to this, whereas a lot of people we like watching bad films for various reasons and we like to is not the right word, but we choose to do it. But what we do like to do is watch a good variety of films and try things. That is fair. Whereas a lot of people don't like to hedge bets. If they're sitting down for the evening and they're putting Netflix on, especially if you're watching it with other people, your family, your partner, whatever, like, it's hard work to decide to watch something together. Mm-hmm. I bet a lot of people, like, Judd Apatow, you like that one, I like that one. That's going to be an easy, fun comedy. And what they got was just massively lackluster and wasn't anything really like what they did before. And to be honest, it was trying to be a parody, which he comments, he does comment in some kind of satirical way with his normal stuff, but the story itself is always played straight. Whereas this, someone said, probably should have been a mockumentary and it might have worked a bit better, but
And then that's what they give you at the end. And I'm like, I would have just.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it was one of those films where there was like, oh, if you just fix that, that would be, I just think it was just under average across the board.
It was undercooked and.
Yes.
And left in too long.
So it was like left in the oven on too low a temperature, so the outside got burnt but the inside was still
absolutely
raw.
It's like when you microwave something and the edge burns still frozen in the middle and you're like, why Chicago Town microwave pizza, have you forsaken me?
I've actually, my nan when she was alive when I was a kid actually served me sausages that were like that, they were still frozen in the middle. It was obviously an accident.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the vibe, right?
That is very much the vibe.
Burnt frozen sausage.
Yep, that's the bubble.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you can join us for the next episode where we keep running down that road on the way to the Razzies 2023. See you then.
So tired. I am so tired.